to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace in the name of our Creator God and Christ Jesus our Lord, upon whom the favor of God rests. Amen. Friends, how do you perceive the significance of February 2nd? February 2nd? According to an old German tradition, this was a day to bless the candles. All of the candles that would be used in worship for the coming year were brought forward. They were blessed. The day was called Candlemas. And from that tradition came another, linking clear skies on the day of Candlemas to a prolonged winter. It's true. This tradition came to include a badger, seeing its shadow and returning to the burrow, and the Pennsylvania Dutch brought this to America, the gift of Groundhog Day on February 2nd each year. Happy Groundhog Day, friends. We're halfway between the winter solstice and the vernal equinox. Spring is coming. February 2nd, for others, this day in 2020 takes shape around the annual liturgy of the Super Bowl. With preparations rivaling holiday gatherings at Christmas time, Americans will gather with food and friends and family and football fervor unbridled. We will divide ourselves into tribes loyal to Kansas City and San Francisco, even if we've never set foot in either of those cities. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. But February 2nd also marks a lesser-known observance in our Christian liturgical calendar, entitled The Presentation of Our Lord. It marks the action of Mary and Joseph 40 days after the birth of Christ, when he was to be presented in the temple in accordance with Jewish law. As he was brought into the temple, there was a prophet named Anna who began to speak of the redemption of Israel when she saw the young child. And Simeon also greeted the Holy Family. He responded to the presence of what he was seeking, the consolation of Israel in this child, describing Jesus as a light for the nations. By the way, it was from Simeon's proclamation of the light for the nations that we came to the tradition of Candlemas and the blessing of candles, and on, happy Groundhog's Day. So Jesus is presented at the temple, and it seems upon that presentation that once again the world has changed. In the same way, on the day of Epiphany, when the Magi arrived, 12 days after the birth, or 2 years, depending on how you do the calendar, and they came bearing gifts suitable for a king and a high priest and one who was to die for the people, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It seems that the world changes with the presentation of Jesus, when Anna and Simeon and others began to proclaim that God's favor rests upon this one, and that somehow the world is changing. It had nothing to do with how many weeks of winter remained. It had nothing to do with whether the Chiefs or the 49ers would prevail. The world changed, in Simeon's words, as a salvation moment. A revealing light and a glory come into the world. And Anna's confession of the child who would bring redemption to God's people provided further attestation. Christ had come. Christ was present. The readings for Presentation Sunday distinguish between the sacrifices that God desires and the sacrifices that God abhors, picking up on a theme from last week's lessons. You see, throughout antiquity, the priests of the temple benefited greatly from the sacrifice of livestock and grain and offerings. Those things were received by someone. It was the priests who received them. And so the priests developed their own legal codes about those sacrifices. In their eyes, God hated offerings of sick animals and rotten produce and tithes not kept. So they set forth rules, laws. On the other hand, the prophets, who always seemed to speak apart from the priests, the prophets believed that God was best worshipped when God's people treated each other justly and sought to care for the weak and the vulnerable. The prophets invoked God's judgment on hypocrisy, the hypocrisy of maintaining temple sacrifices while neglecting the poor and cheating one's neighbor. In our text in Malachi, that critique is extended of both priests and those who brought offerings. The prophet eventually accuses everyone of faithless relationships and says, you must be purified. The mistreatment of employees, the mistreatment of the marginalized. You must be purified. You must be brought back to God's way. A radical repentance is called for. And so Malachi describes bleach and fire taking away the impurities, blasting away the impurities, Malachi prophesied. And whatever remained would provide a pleasing sacrifice. We need to be purified. We need to be casting off all the things that stand in the way of a pure sacrifice. Frederick Buechner wrote, "To sacrifice something is to make it holy by giving it away for love. To sacrifice something is to make it holy by giving it away for love. Such sacrifice God desires of us. But God also models such sacrifice in the presence of Christ Jesus. Malachi's promised fire and Fuller's soap strips God's Messiah down nearly to nothing, and what's left he gave for the love of us, for the salvation of the world. In Luke's telling of the presentation of Jesus, in accord with God's law, as prescribed in Exodus 13, the sacrifice of a couple of young birds would redeem the firstborn male child. But as old Simeon's oracle dictated, the child himself would become the offering. Luke's version of Jesus gives himself away for love, holding back nothing, putting himself and all he has into the hearts and the mouths of all of us who are poor and hungry. All who follow Jesus on the road of daily cross-bearing are called into that same journey of holiness and sacrificial living given away for love. So, happy February 2nd, Groundhog's Day, when many are looking more for signs of spring than for signs of God's redemption. Happy February 2nd, Super Bowl Sunday, when many are looking more for an explosive couple of offensive squads and halftime show extravaganzas and the most creative commercial than for a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of God's people Israel. We confess how easily we're diverted. Welcome to a Sunday named Candlemas, on the presentation of our Lord, when we're invited into sacrificial living by a God who sacrificed that we might know God's love and a light that conquers darkness. Again, the words of Frederick Buechner, to sacrifice something is to make it holy by giving it away for love. We're invited into the presentation of our Lord, and into both the proclamation of and the invitation into a life of sacrificial love. In Christ's name, amen. Please stand.